Good morning. This is Becky Speed, Direct Sales Specialist and a Christian Direct Seller. And I just want to let you know how much I appreciate each one of you taking the time to be on the line with me live this morning, as well as those that are listening to the recorded version. And just know that we take prayer requests starting at about 25 after 8 Central Time. And we do that, and those are not recorded. Some people prefer that we not pray or praise on the recording, and that's fine. Just know that we will be doing that for you privately. But then there's others that don't mind sharing, and we'll be praying for everyone at the end of the call today. One of the things that we're going to be doing as well is I always watch the Facebook page, which is The Christian Direct Seller, and watch for prayer requests. So if you ever need any prayer, just know that I check that. Just message me or private message me, and I'd be happy to lift you and your life and your business up in prayer. One of the things that I want to do before we start is just go to the Lord in prayer, and then to bless the time that we have together, and then we're going to be talking about doubt and being at the end of our rope today. Father God, I just thank you so much for your love, your kindness, your mercy, and how you just take care of our every need many times before we even ask. You do tell us to ask, Lord, so we are just coming this morning. We're asking that you would take care of every need, that you would open up our minds, that you would open up our hearts, that we would have the scales taken off of our eyes, that our ears would be unplugged, and we would serve you in a new and fresh way, Lord. We love you and we praise you. Lord, I thank you for this honor of being able to serve your people and shepherd your sheep, Lord. So I just pray that you would speak through my mouth of clay, that it would be nothing of me but all of you, that you would give me supernatural recall of your word and your scripture, and only speak the words that you would have me to speak today. We love you, Father, and are looking forward to not only our time together this morning, but an amazing, incredible week so that we can continue to give you all of the honor and glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I hope that the topic today, doubt, didn't scare too many people away, because it's actually always an encouraging message. And I know that the Lord is going to use this word to touch your life, but also that he's going to use it to increase your faith, because with faith, there is no doubt or fear, or if there is, it quickly erases it. So let's talk about what doubt really is. Doubt is a feeling of uncertainty or a lack of conviction. And I thought, wow, I wanted to get the exact definition because I wanted to make sure that I was accurate. And I thought, how many times have we gone to the Lord, or we've sat in our circumstance and we've actually been uncertain? Or we say, yeah, we're going to do something, or yeah, we're following the Lord, or we want something different in our life, but we really lack that true conviction. And to me, that just goes back to the authenticity. And so one of the other things that I want you to think about is it's just feeling that uncertain. It's feeling afraid or being afraid. And that, to me, was huge, because I know that that's one of the tactics of the enemy, right? The Lord tells us, fear not, fear not, fear not. Do not be afraid. Don't be afraid. Yet that's what usually comes in. And it's not necessarily that we want to just boldly sin, or we want to boldly walk away from the Lord. But the enemy's a sneaky guy, and he's so sneaky that he and all of his forces of evil just try to cause a little distraction or a little doubt. It doesn't have to be a total gripping fear, but it's just as dangerous. And I don't want you to get caught in that. In Wikipedia, doubt is actually referred to saying that it's a status between belief and disbelief. So we know, just like if we would just put one little drop of poison inside of a clear glass of water, we may not see it, but it would still have poison in it. It could really cause damage to us. And if we kept adding more drops of that poison, it would actually get to the point where it could kill us and take us completely out. And that's what can happen if we let just a little bit of doubt in, is it creates that disbelief. And it's kind of like, you know, are you pregnant or you're not pregnant? Either you are or you aren't. And so when you add either you're believing or you're not believing, it's got to be one or the other, right? So it also involves uncertainty or distrust. It's a lack of being sure of a fact, an action, which was huge for me, because I thought, oh, it means that if I don't take action on what I believe, that's doubt. A motive or a decision. So to me, that's huge. Doubt brings into question some notion of a perceived reality and may involve delaying or rejecting that relevant action out of concerns for mistakes, fault, or appropriateness. And for us, I know a lot of times that even as we're witnessing or sharing or even talking about our businesses, sometimes we allow that doubt to come in because we're concerned that we might not be appropriate or we might not do it exactly perfect. However, that's moving us out of the will of God. Doubt sometimes calls us doubt sometimes tends to call on reason is something else that Wikipedia says. And we know that we're supposed to trust and obey, not reason things out with the Lord, but we're supposed to trust and obey. And then the other thing that really grabbed me when I was looking up what doubt truly is sometimes doubt may encourage people to hesitate before acting. So when we move to that place of hesitation, you know, sometimes the Lord has told me to do something, or and it doesn't really make sense, or boy, does it stretch my comfort zone. And so I'll hesitate. I didn't realize that when I was doing that, I was doubting. I did many times realize that I would walk in disobedience because the longer I hesitated, the harder it got to take the action that the Lord asked me to take. So I don't know if this is speaking to any of you, but that's just my story and what's happened to me. You know, I was reading in the Word in Matthew 14, and I was reading about when Jesus had finished praying. It was right after John the Baptist was beheaded, and I'm sure he felt a lot of grief. That was his cousin, and that was who baptized him, and that's, you know, just such a close person to him, and he led the way. He was the one crying in the wilderness before him and making his way, and I'm sure he wanted to just go to the Lord and go to his Heavenly Father and grieve, and he just had, you know, so many people around him. And so he said, you know, I just need to get away by myself. I don't even want my disciples. I don't want my close inner circle of 3 or 12, or definitely not the 700 following me. He just wanted a little bit of time. And so he went off to pray, and then it goes on to tell us that, and what he did in the meantime is he told the disciples to go ahead across the lake, and he'd meet them on the other side. So they took off, and then there was a storm that came up. But when Jesus finished praying, he walked on the water over to the disciples' boat, and the disciples thought he was a ghost. And so they got a little freaked out. And how many times have you heard the Lord tell you to do something, and then a storm comes? You've got trouble or problems or issues that rise up. I know almost every time I was about ready to do something great for the Lord, if he told me to do something that would stretch my comfort zone, there would be all kinds of stuff, is what I'll call it, that created a storm around me. And I think that's probably what this whole story is about, that even though, you know, the Lord tells us to do something and we start doing it, and then we see him, but we can see him at a distance, but we're still a little freaked out and there's stuff going on all around us. It goes on to tell us in the Word in Matthew 14 that a storm had taken them many furlongs out to sea, and they were frightened from the winds and the chaos surrounding them. I know for me that I have unfortunately doubted the Lord at times, and the storm just would rage and rage and rage, and sometimes fear would overtake me. But he's so faithful because he comes to us. He's waiting, even as what could appear not necessarily as a ghost, but as a shadow of a figure that we know he's there, but we just can't get our hands on him. You know, they didn't expect Jesus to come to them in the midst of the storm, especially on foot in the middle of the sea. So sometimes God shows up unexpectedly, doesn't he? They didn't even know that it was possible. How many times have you been in a situation where you just thought, you know what, I don't even know if it's possible for God to get me out of this. I don't know if I'm going to make it through to the other side. And there he comes in that middle of the storm. And Jesus said to the disciples, be of good cheer. It's me. Don't be afraid. You know, there again, don't doubt. Don't be afraid. He tells them to be happy. They're in this storm. They're all freaked out. They're not sure if this is even what's even happening, because there's no way that anybody has ever walked down the water. And some figures walking towards them, it kind of looks like Jesus. They're not really sure. And then he says, oh, be happy. Don't worry. Be happy. Don't be afraid. You know, Peter still wasn't convinced. So he said to Jesus, he said, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. He's like, I'm going to test this out, because this is just a little too freaky. And Jesus told Peter to come. And Peter got out of the boat and he walked on the water. Now, let me tell you, do you think he was walking on the water or was he walking on the word that the Lord spoke to him and he was standing on the faith? I think he was standing on the faith and the word. You know, that same miraculous power that allowed Jesus to walk on the water was available to Peter. You know, and it tells us in the word that the Lord tells us we'll do even greater things than he's done. Peter just had to believe in that power and trust that Jesus was who he said he was, and to take him on his word and walk on his word. I want to encourage you to find scripture this week for whatever the issue is that you're going through. If you can't come up with a scripture, Google your problem and then Google the word scripture right before or right after it, and you'll have many scriptures that'll pop up. But Peter allowed doubt and fear to overtake him all of a sudden. So what was it that got him off the word? Doubt and fear. And then as soon as he started thinking and doubting, reasoning this out, thinking, oh my goodness, what am I doing walking on the water? Oh, I got to figure this out. He started to sink. Then he cried out for Jesus to save him, and immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and he caught him. Once he got back into the boat, he said to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And then the wind ceased. So think about it. Why in the world would we doubt when God tells us that we have no reason to doubt? You know, I used to read this and think, well, he was rebuking him. But I don't think that is the case. I read it as assurance that Jesus is saying, you know what, you can trust me. And even after you doubt me, if you walked in doubt, it's okay. You call out to me, I'm reaching my hand out. I'm going to grab you up out of that doubt and that sea of mess, and we're going to walk back to the boat. So if that's the case, know that he's a God of second chances. He wants you to not doubt, but he just wants to love on you. And if you aren't in a place of doubt, don't doubt. Just trust. Stand on his word. You know, basically what I think he's saying is, you can trust me. I am that I am, and I am all you need. Haven't I proven that to you? Whatever storm you face, you can come to me. I'll walk on the water if I have to in order to get to you. I'm going to calm the storm, and I'm going to give you peace. Jesus could have let Peter doubt and his unbelief actually take his life, couldn't he? And then use that as an example or a teaching point. But because he's such a God of love, he didn't. You know, he could have just said to Peter, oh, you got out of the boat, and then you lost your faith in me, so now you just get to sink. But that's not who God is to us. He didn't let him go, and he won't let us go either. James 1:5 says that when we need wisdom, we can go to God and we can ask him for it, and he's going to give it to us liberally and ungrudgingly without reproaching or fault-finding. So what I see that this means is that even with our imperfections, God will be faithful to us and give us what we need if we ask him for his help. You know, he loves us, he blesses us, and he uses us in spite of us, because he's faithful, and we never have to doubt that. You know, I want to read you some other scriptures on doubt that, to me, I thought were really, really encouraging. Matthew 21:21 says, and Jesus answered them, truly I say to you, if you have faith, a firm relying trust, and do not doubt, you will not only do what has been done to the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, it'll be done. You know, last week we talked about mountains and how mountains can appear as problems, and the Lord just wants to have us leave those at the foot of the cross and speak to that mountain and tell it to move, and it will be cast into the sea. James 1:6 goes on to tell us, only it must be in faith that he asks, with no wavering, no hesitating, and no doubting. For the one who wavers, hesitates, and doubts is like the billowing surge out at sea that is blown hither and thither and tossed by the winds. So if you're questioning and you're doubting, stop. Get a scripture to stand on, and then stand on that word. 1 Timothy 2:8 tells us, I desire therefore that in every place men should pray without anger or quarreling or resentment or doubt in their minds, lifting up holy hands. Mark 11:23 goes on to say, truly I tell you, whoever says to this mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt at all in his heart, but believes that what he says will take place, it'll be done for him. We can see how important it is that we don't doubt in order to have our prayers answered. Matthew 14:31 says, instantly Jesus reached out his hand and caught and held him, saying to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Romans 14:23 says, but he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith, for whatever is not of faith is sin. So when we're doubting, it's actually sin. And I don't know if you know the story or not, but after Jesus rose from the dead, he went back and he went to his disciples. After the third day, he went back to the disciples because he loved them and wanted them to know that he was the risen Lord. But Thomas wasn't with them. He was in a bad mood. And I'll tell you the story in just a second. But he doubted the Lord. And it tells us in John 20:28-29, and Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen me and yet believed. Even though he doubted, he got a second chance. And Psalm 86:2 says, preserve my life, for I am godly and dedicated. Oh, my God, save your servant, for I trust in you, leaning and believing on you, committing all and confidently looking to you without any fear or doubt. Can we say that about our lives, that we are God's servant, that we're dedicated and that we're trusting in him, that we're leaning and believing in him, committing everything that we have and confidently looking to him without fear or doubt? Oh, I hope so. And then Matthew 28:17 said, and when they saw him, they fell down and worshipped him, but some doubted. And the ones that doubted, they didn't ever have that walk with the Lord. Acts 10:34 says, he's not a respecter of persons. And it goes on to actually say, then Peter replied, I see very clearly that God shows no favoritism. God wants you to trust. He doesn't want you to doubt. He wants you just to move in faith. And he's going to do the same things that he did for Peter and just like he did for Thomas. You know, there's all kinds of doubts that we have. We have intellectual doubts. We've got doubts of imagination and sin. We've got emotional and experiential doubts. But I want you to know that we need to get out of our heads. The most damaging one to me and the easiest one to fall into is that intellectual doubt. You know, let me just tell you a little bit about that, because it goes back to the story about Thomas in Acts. And Thomas, I think, was a late bloomer, or he was just so incredibly pessimistic that he just didn't get it. And he was always looking at the glass half empty, and you could hear the disciples and Jesus always being, you know, for the most part, positive or questioning. But Thomas even doubted when their friend Lazarus died near Jerusalem, and they had sent people over to Jesus and said, please come, please come, please save Lazarus, he's sick. But by the time they got there, he was dying, and then he actually was dead. And Thomas commented, he said, yeah, let's go so that we can die with him. He just was that negative person, and I know that you probably have somebody like that in your life too. But what happened is his world started falling apart. He started to see Thomas, started to see Jesus get arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, and then he decided he would flee for his life. He wasn't going to get involved in any more of this mess. He was going to go try to figure it out and reason it out. And then he watched it as a distance, as they took the spikes into his friend's hand, into Jesus' hands, and into pierced the sword through his side. And then they saw he saw the Romans killing him at Golgotha, and he was so drained of hope. And he was probably in shock because, you know, he probably felt like he had been duped a little bit and a little bit frustrated because he didn't have that unwavering faith. And he was so disillusioned that by, you know, that second day afterwards, he didn't know what to do. And he thought, you know what, I'm not even going to go and be with the disciples. They don't even know what they're doing, and I'm just frustrated. And I even doubt that Jesus even was telling the truth. And so he didn't even go for that evening meal that day. And wouldn't you know it, Jesus showed up. just like he said he would, that he would be raised up on that third day. Well, he was hurt, and he was bitter, and he was lashing out. I don't know if any of you've ever been that way, but I sure have. And then what happened is the disciples went to look for Thomas because they couldn't believe what happened while he was gone. They had to tell him that Jesus was alive and he was going to be doing such amazing things. And they went and told him, they said, you know, Thomas, we were in the upper room and where we had been meeting, and the doors were locked for protection, and then all of a sudden Jesus just appeared right in the middle of us. And he said, peace to us. And then he showed us his hands and where the jagged holes had been. And then he moved his tunic to the side, and we could see where that spear had penetrated in through his side. And he wasn't sick. He wasn't dying. He was alive. He was raised from the dead, and he was better than ever. And what do you think Thomas said? Oh, I don't believe it. I'm not going to believe it till I see it. I don't even believe a word you're saying. And I saw him die, and you know what? When he died, a part of me died inside, and he's dead, and the sooner you just accept that fact, you know, you're going to be better off. I don't even believe it. But you know what? His friend Peter, the same one that stood on the word and walked on the water, said, you know what? I saw it myself. I saw him myself, and I tell you, it was just as real as you are. And even though Thomas was cold and angry and bitter and doubting, you know what? I'll bet he said to them, you know what? I've had it. But it's recorded in the word. It says, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and I put my hands into his side, I'm not going to believe it. That just showed how cold he was and how much he really, really doubted. And by the next week, he sat there and he was eating with the disciples, probably still half unbelieving and just thinking, well, I just don't know what else to do. There was someone that once again appeared in the room and said, peace. Peace be with you. And it was Jesus. Can you imagine all of a sudden how you'd feel? I'm sure the blood just ran out of his face. And he said, you know what? Go ahead. Put your finger here in my hand. I want you to see my side. And I don't want you to fear, because I want you to know it's me and it's real. And I love you. Can you imagine how Thomas must have felt? I'll bet he started just weeping and sobbing and falling to his knees. And then he said, you are the Lord my God. Don't be a doubting Thomas. You know, we have to recognize that Christians fight a battle daily, and we have to gear up for that battle. The Christian needs to be armed daily with the Word of God to help us fight in these spiritual battles. It tells us that in Ephesians 6:10-19. But the greatest thing that we can do when we're fighting that doubt is to put on the full armor of God. And what do we hold up against those fiery darts of the enemy? We put up our shield of faith, because faith is the opposite of fear and the opposite of doubt. When we raise up that shield of faith and do battle with the enemy of our souls, his flaming darts of doubt cannot hit their target, right? You know, God wants you to know that he loves you more than you know, that he's working even if you can't see it, that he's strong in our weakness. He wants you to keep seeking him. Keep calling on him, and he wants you to keep believing in him. As I was preparing last night, I was reminded of a story, and I want to share it with you before we finish up this morning. You know, there was a mountain climber, and he was climbing alone, and night fell really heavy at the very top of the mountain, and the man couldn't see anything. And he didn't really know what to do. Everything was black. There was zero visibility. And the moon and the stars were covered up by all the clouds. And he was climbing only a few feet away from the top of the mountain when all of a sudden he slipped and he fell right into the air. The falling began, and it was at great speed. And all he could see were little black spots as he went down, down, and that terrible sensation of being sucked by the gravity. He just kept falling. And at that moment, great fear struck him. It came to his mind about all the good and all the bad episodes of his life. He thought he was dying. He was thinking now about how close to death he was getting, when all of a sudden he felt the rope tied to his waist pull him very hard. His body was hanging there in midair. Only the rope was holding him. And in his moment of stillness, he had no other choice other than to scream, "Help me, God." And all of a sudden, a deep voice coming from the sky answered him. And he said, what do you want me to do? You know, that's what he asked blind Bartimaeus. What do you want me to do? And he said, you know, heal me. Let me see. And he did it instantly. But that's what he said here to this climber. What do you want me to do? He said, save me, God. Do you really think I can save you? God replied. Of course I believe you can. He said, then cut the rope tied to your waist. There was a moment of silence. And then the man decided to hold on to that rope with all his strength. He felt he was at the end of his rope and he was going to hold on to it for everything that he had. I don't know if you feel like you're at the end of your rope, but I've been there many times, and I want to encourage you, listen to the rest of this story. The rescue team tells that the next day, a climber was found dead and frozen. His body was hanging from a rope, his hands holding so tightly gripped to it, he was only 1 foot away from the ground. How many times has the Lord, you've cried out to the Lord because you've been at the end of your rope, and he said, what do you want me to do? And you said, save me, or do something that you want him to do. And he said, do you really believe and think that I can save you? Of course I can. You can. Of course I believe it. And then we don't act on it. He tells us to do something and we don't act on it. And we stay stuck. Or we stay gripped in that fear and we don't move out in faith. The lesson of this story is, how attached are we to the rope? And believing that we have to hang on, or do we want to listen and trust? Don't ever doubt about the Word of God. He said that He will never forget us and He will never abandon us. And I believe that Word is absolutely 100% true. Doubting Christians have two things that doubting Thomas didn't have. And that's, number one, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and the written New Testament. We have both of those things, the Holy Spirit living in us as well as the New Testament. By the power of both the Spirit and the Word, we can overcome any doubt. And like Thomas, we need to be prepared to follow our Lord and Savior and give everything we have to Him, even our lives. I'm going to go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, thank you so much for your love. Thank you, Lord, that when we do get to the end of the rope, that you've given us a place to trust you. You've given us your word. And Father God, we ask forgiveness for any fear or doubt that we've allowed into our life. Lord, we ask forgiveness for times that we were disobedient or didn't obey instantly, that we hesitated because we know that's doubt and that is sin. Father God, we love you and we praise you. Lord, I just pray in Jesus' name that you will continue to guide Gloriella's steps as she's starting to homeschool, Lord. That you would be with Linda's niece, Sarah, Lord. That you would continue that healing and that great work and the preparation of an incredible testimony. We know that our tests can be testimonies. Our messes are our messages. And Lord, that we overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony and loving our life not unto death. Lord, we also know that you've given us a hope and a future. And Lord, that you want to work in and through us to do exceedingly above, more than we could ever ask, think, dream, or imagine. Lord, I pray a blessing on each person that's heard this message. And Lord, I pray that you will help just keep speaking this and help us to meditate on it in your word, Lord, that we do not have to doubt, but that we can stand in faith. And if we have doubted, that you'll do to us, just like you did to doubting Thomas, that you will forgive us and you will give us another chance. And that if we are in fear or doubt in anything, that all we have to do is ask and then ask you, and then we need to command and speak. We don't have to pray about it, but we have to speak to our mountain, tell it to move, be cast into the sea, believe without doubting at all and not hesitating, and move forward on the word. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your guidance. Thank you for your provision. Lord, we give you all the glory and honor for everything that you've said and done. We praise you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Have an amazing week, everybody, and I'll see you next week. Bye.